When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode. This will be the last episode before camp gets started. It's pretty crazy to say training camp is here. The Jets obviously starting up a little bit earlier than the rest of the NFL with the Hall of Fame game. Jets Browns in like 2.5 weeks here, which is kind of insane. We're going to be, you know, getting into real football. No better person. Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. The Athletic is still covering the NFL, so no one worry there. Sorry, I know you can't say anything on that, but I can make that joke. Zach, how are we doing today? How's your summer been?
Good, man. Yeah, cut a little short, but I am excited to get out and watch a little football. It is a weird feeling having it start so early like this and the preseason game looming, but this is an exciting time to be covering the Jets, so it'll be cool to be out there on Thursday minus the heat factor.
Yeah, I know. At least they look like they've kind of tried to upgrade a little bit
for the fans, which I'm happy for them because they have to suffer during the season when we're in the press box.
Yeah, so I was gonna say suffer during training camp. Yeah, it's better to be a little too hot than get covered in rain and stuff during the games.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't complain too much because I get paid to watch football practice, obviously. But yeah, I'm excited. There's a lot of storylines here beyond the Aaron Rodgers stuff, but watching Aaron Rodgers actually throw in camp is going to be cool for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know, you know, anyone in Green Bay, like the number one thing, we'll get into like actual stuff that's more important, but like this is a PSA for anyone that's going to freak out over any interceptions Rodgers throws in camp. He's him and Mahomes specifically are the two guys in the league that are known for like figuring out who they trust during camp, and they'll throw a lot of 50-50 balls, a lot of stuff that they probably wouldn't try in the regular season, or seeing what they would be able to try with guys. You know, a Garrett Wilson's going to get force fed an extra target here or there. That, hey, like Garrett, let's go see if you go make that play, or you know, maybe it's a Corey Davis, someone Rodgers hasn't played with. So that's just my one PSA before people freak out and call Rodgers washed because he throws a pick on day two. Obviously, you know, you had the article come out, I believe it was yesterday, or maybe it's this morning. I'm not sure, honestly. These days start blend together on some of the storylines to watch. Is there something more than any other, like, there's a lot, obviously, the Jets, there's position battles, there's, you know, who's going to make the 53, who's going to start certain spots. Is there one thing that you're like, outside of Rodgers, I cannot wait, or I really want to see how this is going to unfold?
That's a good question. The ones that are jumping to my head, number one is Mekhi Becton, seeing him out there, how he looks moving with the new size, if he's ready to go right away. You know, I've been saying all offseason, even last season, that like talent wise, he's an X factor just because, you know, if he's healthy, he's their most talented offensive lineman, I think, like ceiling wise, like whether he lives up to it, whatever. But like the best version of their offensive line has him on it, but also you need to know that he's going to be available and healthy and in shape and, you know, saying and doing the right things around a new coaching staff. So I'm fascinated to see how he looked. I thought he was looking pretty solid last year, working his way back into shape before he hurt his knee. Like it feels like ages and ages ago at this point. So much happened between now and then. I'd say he's like the number one that jumps to my head. I'm curious to see like a combo of Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson, I would say. Just Will, how he looks against NFL offensive linemen, especially once they start doing contact. You know, the biggest question for Will is his size and strength, because the speed is not an issue. And you know, his ability to get to the quarterback, you know, was pretty amazing in college. And then Jermaine, just like the leap that he's making in year two, which I think is going to be pretty big. So like the, just like off the top, off the jump, like top of my head, those are the ones that I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page. Those are ones that everyone that you, I mean, you got to see him, you know, when you got to talk to him at the, you know, got to meet him at the combine and things like that. And, you know, you got to see him obviously in person, OTAs. Talk to some of the defensive linemen, they're really impressed. Like, JFM was on last week, and like, he's one of the first names he brought up. And usually, I don't know, I just usually don't hear that with a rookie, especially a guy who, like, let's be honest, there's a chance he doesn't play a lot this year, but there's also a chance that maybe he's really all, you know what I mean? Like, well, that's why I felt a little bit like
wild card,
not, yeah, wild card of like, let's not overreact to the pick just yet. It may be a strength, but you know, Carl Lawson's got an injury history, and you know, you never know what's going to happen there. The Becton thing is so fascinating because, you know, in reality, I almost like you forget he's on the team, and not because like he's not a big, you know, big personality, but it's like he just hasn't played in so long that I have no idea what he's going to look like. He might look like the rookie Mekhi Becton, who was mauling people and a guy that people thought was a franchise left tackle. And he might look like the guy in year two who really struggled in camp and Carl Lawson, you know, the Jets essentially had to basically be like, stop rushing because we need Zach Wilson to be able to get the ball off here and like see if he's any good. You know, you mentioned the offensive line obviously is a big question mark. Are you kind of expecting Joe Tippmann, who is still unsigned, and I can't wait for the offset language conversation that we're going to have, you know, starting tomorrow unless these things get done. Are you expecting him or Connor McGovern to start? Because I kind of feel like based on the contract and where they took Tippmann, it kind of feels like they'd ideally like him to start, not McGovern.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the goal is for Tippmann to start, certainly, if you just look at all the factors. You know, you mentioned Will McDonald, the fact they used a first-round pick on a guy who already is not going to be a starter. And so in a win-now year, you can't, it wouldn't look great if your second-round pick also wasn't a starter, especially an offensive lineman who it's not like he's going to sub in for certain packages or anything. So I think the goal is for him to win it, but ultimately they'll pick the five best. And the fact that they're able to get Connor McGovern at such a discount, I mean, maybe it wasn't a discount based on his market, but you know, this guy was a solid guy the last 3 years, started almost every game, and you have him at $1.9 million. So you know, I think that'll be a legit competition. I think if McGovern like clearly outplays Joe, they'll play Connor McGovern, but if it's like close, then I feel like the tie would go to Joe Tippmann. And also I should say Aaron Rodgers will play a big part in that, honestly, because whoever he's the most comfortable with is probably going to be the one that's snapping the ball. And you know, maybe they, you know, both of them have the ability to flex to guard in a pinch, I think. And I'm not saying either of them would start at that spot, but, you know, the flexibility to be a backup throughout the interior is appealing for either of them. So I think Rodgers would be a factor, but ultimately whoever is the best in camp will win the job.
Yeah.
It's cliche to say, but
yeah, no, I mean, I think the upside with Tippmann's obviously tremendous. Yeah. It's how quickly he's going to be developed the NFL game. It's almost like he gets the benefit of Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback where he can call up protections and kind of get everything organized. But at the same time, is Rodgers going to demand, you know, that veteran presence?
Yeah.
You know, I think it came out this morning, you know, everyone kind of had their either most important or kind of most valuable guy, you know, kind of this year upcoming, you know, I forget how it was kind of phrased, but obviously he kind of wrote a little bit about Garrett Wilson. I feel like it's something we've kind of all, I tweeted out yesterday, I thought it's a huge key of a couple of these year one, year two, year three guys, you know, going into year two, whatever the year they're going into. A lot of potential, showed a lot on an okay football team, right? They were a good team at some points. They obviously sucked at some points when the offense floundered. I feel like for the Jets to get where they need to be, he kind of needs to take the true step into that franchise number one. Like, he looked like it a lot of games last year, but, you know, again, was it just because the last of the offense was bad, or was it because, you know, I'm not saying he's not going to be a great player. I think he's going I think he's going to be that Justin Jefferson level player, but if he becomes that, I think this offense and this team has a way different ceiling than if he's just 80,000, four touchdowns again. Like, that's good. And it's really great because the Jets don't ever have that, but like, you want to see him be that Pro Bowl, all pro level type of guy. I think that's a huge kind of key for this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's the Devontae Adams in the Aaron Rodgers offense. Like, that's if you look at the way they built the receiving room around him, it's the star at the top, and it's a bunch of guys who are good at specific things around him. You know, Alan Lazard, good down the field and a good blocker in the running game, does the dirty work. Corey Davis, kind of similar, maybe not as good down the field as Lazard. Mecole Hardman, explosive guy, can put him in the slot, can put him out of the backfield. Randall Cobb, you know, he's smart. He's a veteran. He's not going to play a lot, but he's a guy that can play all over the field and knows the offense and all that stuff. So it's a guys that a lot of guys that complement the idea of a star at the top, which is kind of how the Packers built it all those years with DeMonte at the top. They had him, and then they had a bunch of guys, you know, guys like Lazard who Rodgers trusted, guys like Cobb who Rodgers trusted. So Wilson, I think he's already on his way there. He needs to build that trust with Aaron. That's the biggest thing. But ultimately, you know, this offensive coaching staff, which is all pretty new, they rave about Garrett's spatial awareness and his ability to, you know, even when it doesn't seem like he's open, to get open kind of thing. Like, he has an elite ability in those regards. So the idea has always been, once you get a good quarterback in here, this offense was going to take off. And I think Wilson, in theory, should benefit more than anybody. And if he doesn't, then we're going to have to really look at, you know, his relationship with Aaron, or, you know, whether he was ready to make that leap and be the number one guy, like all that stuff. But I think he has it in him. I've been saying, like you were saying, the Justin Jefferson level potential. I think he has it. I think at the end of this season, we're going to be talking about him in that breath, which is, you know, very high praise. And I didn't expect to think that this quickly, but he was a star last year. Like, he was so fun to watch. And yeah, and that's kind of why I picked him as the other MVP, because, you know, this offense doesn't really work this year unless you have a star receiver at the top. I think, like, Aaron Rodgers can get by with okay players, but if you want to win a Super Bowl, you need that star, and that's Garrett.
Yeah, look at it. I mean, if he's a 12, 13, 14 yard receiver, that's just that. It's the touchdowns, and it doesn't just have to be him, but, like, this offense needs to score in the red zone. This offense needs to score down near the goal line. Like, there's things they just – the Minnesota game can't happen. And you expect it not to happen, but – you know, that's why guys like a Garrett Wilson, or you look at some of the tight ends and some of these backs, like, it's pretty crucial they punch some of these in. You don't want to leave your defense kind of having to be being superheroes every single week. This is the question, and I think we talk a lot about the Jets defense, you know, some people, you know, want to see if the Jets defense is going to regress. No one talks about the Patriots defense regressing when three wins in a row were Zach Wilson twice and Sam Ehlinger. Like, you know, not for nothing, I feel like that's a defense that wasn't as good as they maybe necessarily looked against bad teams offensively. Do you expect the defense to regress at all, though? I know there's been some, like, I guess there's an argument for it that they played a lot of backups or got kind of favorable matchups. I'd also argue, you know, they didn't turn the ball over for like 10 straight weeks. If they get any turnover luck, this defense should be even better.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, turnovers is the biggest question, I think, if you're going to have any. And maybe like depth at certain spots, but in terms of the starting lineup, yeah, I mean, you know, I think regression happens a lot with defenses just because there's a lot of variance, and the lack of turnovers would be a reason why maybe somebody would be skeptical they can maintain what they play last year. But I don't think they need to be a top five defense. If they are top 10, that's still pretty damn good too. And they have the talent to certainly do that. They had good luck with injuries on defense last year, which is kind of an underrated part of it. And a big reason why, you know, the defenses that outlast the other defenses at the end of the year wind up being the best ones, because if the guys you started out the year with are still there, that's a good thing. You know, Quinnen Williams only missed one game. CJ Mosley, I don't think, missed any. The safeties played every game. I mean, people didn't love the safeties, but Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed played every game. Michael Carter II played every game. You know, Quan Alexander and Quincy missed a couple, but he came back earlier than he was supposed to because of the injury he had. And Carl Lawson played every game, even while he was really banged up. And JFM, I believe, played every game. Like, that, like, all your key guys playing every game, like, you're probably not going to have that. Like, that would be maybe where the regression happens, is the odds of you having that kind of luck injury-wise are pretty slim, especially in the NFL. And that's where you can talk about, okay, they don't have any depth at linebacker. They don't have any depth at safety. They do at other spots. And that would be a concern. But, yeah, I do think, you know, I mean, all those guys that just listed are all back. And you add Will McDonald, and you still have Bryce Huff in the building. You have Jermaine Johnson ready to take off. I think you have Carl Lawson ready to go off. I think Quincy Williams is going to be even better this year with some experience. You know, I just think the pieces are all there. The hard part of the schedule is the beginning part of the season. You can only, to your point about like playing easy or hard opponents, you only play who's across from you. And if just because you dominated a shitty team doesn't mean you're not a good defense. Like, bad defenses don't dominate against bad teams still.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, you got to take care of yourself.
Whether you think they're elite or whether you think they're just good, like, there's not debating whether it's a good defense. And this Aaron Rodgers can win with a good defense, and he could win a Super Bowl with an elite one.
Yeah. Look, I the Packers, the last couple of years, in 2021, they were an elite level defense. And then for some reason they added multiple first round picks on defense instead of adding to the offense. That's a whole argument that I'm sure Packers Twitter's had a million times, but like, the team was going 13-3 every year because they were scoring a ton on offense Aaron Rodgers was as efficient as we've ever seen a quarterback play. And then on top of that, the defense was awesome. Like, that's how you, it's a recipe for success. Would you, this is an interesting, like, are you swaying towards, we'll see more of the Rodgers where maybe the turnover is a little higher, but the touchdowns are higher? Or do you think we'll see a little bit more conservative? Like, do you think sometimes he doesn't throw over the middle of the field unless he's throwing like a seam route? Like, you know, I know he loves that. And when he scrambles, he throws over the middle of the field, but like, there is times where, you know, you turn the ball over more in the middle of the field. It's like, just, unfortunately, it's just the way it goes. That's why Tom Brady not turning the ball over that much when he threw the ball over the middle of the field his entire career makes no sense. The Jets do have some nice tight ends. I think the tight end room's a little weird because it feels like it's really expensive. It feels like, at least I know they got restructured, so it's not quite as expensive anymore, but it's still a top 10 paid, highest paid tight end room without an elite guy. Do you expect them to kind of attack the middle of the field, or do you think it's going to be more of run game, Garrett Wilson, like Lazard, those guys?
That's an interesting question, honestly. You know, I don't really have an answer for what I don't. I think that's going to be the biggest mystery is what, like, how aggressive this offense is going to look. You know, I think Aaron is highly motivated and wants to, you know, prove to everybody that's doubted him, including and especially Green Bay, that he's still got some juice. And so maybe that means they become a gunslinging offense, but he's also very smart. He knows to play what's in front of him. I think he has a much more talented receiver group than he did in Green Bay last year outside of the tight ends, which, you know, I think those are solid NFL players and none of them are stars. And like you said, you're paying a lot for not having any star tight ends, but you have them, you have, you know, they seem to believe in this running back room. And you have a lot of receivers that are just solid players. So I think they could do it both ways. I think they can be explosive with Mecole Hardman and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Izzy Abanaconda and all these guys. And I think they could also do the other way. And I think the ability to be flexible is definitely a positive. I'm personally concerned, and I'm sure you're going to ask about Breece at some point. I'm still personally concerned that he's not going to be as explosive right away. I think it's crazy that people are expecting that right out of the gate. Even if he plays week one, I imagine he'd be sharing the workload at minimum. I mean, he didn't even get the injury until week 7 last year, if you think about it. And a lot of these guys aren't good the year after. And he's coming back sooner than in theory most of them did, which is impressive. And maybe he's a freak and he's the next Adrian Peterson for all I know. But I can't imagine at the beginning of the season he's going to look the same. So if you don't have, you know, maybe Izzy Abanaconda can be that right away. It's hard to expect that out of a rookie. But so if you don't have that explosion out of the backfield, then maybe you're a little more limited. But yeah, I think they have the pieces to do it both ways. And I am very curious to see how it looks. I think we'll learn pretty quickly what this offense is going to look like, because that Bills game is going to be a real good test, obviously.
Yeah, and look, I think the Bills game, I just genuinely feel like week one normally, I think, is the biggest crock of shit in the NFL. Everyone looks, either you look amazing or you look at, like, look, the Packers 2 years ago lost by 40 points to New Orleans. New Orleans, they wasn't very good, and the Packers end up winning 13 of the next 15 games and hosting a playoff game. They obviously lost to the Niners, whatever. But, like, obviously week one's kind of crazy. That said, the Jets lose week one. They're two full games behind Buffalo, you know, in September already. It's like, you just don't want to get into that spot. So it's a home game. It kind of feels like, as like, you get off to a hot start and you lose to Dallas week two, no one really cares you lost to Dallas. They're like, they win week one, it kind of feels like they start 3-0. Like, it's just, that's the way the ripple effect feels. Like, Rodgers owns Dallas. It feels like the Patriots are down here. All of a sudden, you're going to Kansas City 3-0. It's a lot different than, like, we have to beat New England or we're going to be 0-3 going into a game that's probably the hardest game on our schedule. So I'm right there with you on Buffalo. You kind of mentioned, you know, the running back room and things of that nature and Breece. Do I think the Jets are interested in Dalvin Cook? I think that, like, if Dalvin Cook wants to come here, he's going to come here on a deal that's all incentive-based. It's going to be like a year, you know, whatever, one for like 7, but most of it's all like, you know, did you get 200 carry, like stuff that's achievable, maybe, maybe not. Do you feel like they do need to add a guy there just with Breece? Because I just have the same feeling as you. Like, I think he's awesome, and I think he's going to be really awesome by like week 10, 12, 14. I think asking Breece Hall to be like even 60% of what he was last year, opening day, and like these couple, you know, Eagles defense, Bills defense, Patriots, even, like, as much as I said they're a little overrated, like, those are really good defenses to come back off of a major, you know. Is Dalvin Cook a guy like you'd really explore? Like, I still would explore Zeke Elliott, and not because I think Zeke's good, but Zeke's only good at short yardage and pass pro, and I don't know if you trust any of these guys in the roster right now with Aaron Rodgers in a big third down. Like, there's a viral clip of the Seahawks game and Mike White almost died because Michael Carter, you know, tried to flip a linebacker.
Yeah, you know, I would add something, whether it's Dalvin Cook, I mean, Kareem Hunt's still out there, Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, like, there are veterans who can get tough yards. You know, you can argue where all those guys are at in their careers or whatever, but I do think they need somebody in there. But I think they're smart in that they're going into training camp and they're going to see what they have in Izzy Abanaconda. They're going to see where Michael Carter's at in his development. They're going to see what they have in Bam Knight. And if they go through a couple weeks of camp and then you see them go and sign one of those veteran guys, then they probably are where we're at, where they realize, okay, maybe we do need somebody to at least carry some of the workload while Breece works back into form, because this is a team that wants to run the ball. They did with the previous staff, and I think they do with this one. And, you know, if Izzy isn't ready and Michael Carter is what he was the second half of last season, which was not good, and same with Bam Knight, then you're in a tough spot to start the season where your running game's not even a threat, and that's going to be a problem. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers had good running backs his entire career in Green Bay, especially the last few years. Maybe is, you know, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon is one of the best duos you could possibly have.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be something I'm going to have my eye on. Like, if Izzy comes out and shows like what he did in college, then maybe they're going to be fine from the get-go and he's a stud. I think there's a possibility he is. I'm really high on him, but he is a rookie and sometimes it takes guys longer. So
yeah, he's going to be the youngest, you know, if he plays week one, he's going to be the youngest guy in franchise history to play in an NFL game. So can he do it? I'm sure he can. I don't know how much it's a veteran coaching staff, how much trust are they going to put in him, things of that nature. Well, two more things here. One, do a little game of like ceiling, floor, and like most likely of kind of expectations with the Jets. Like, I guess we'll start floor. Like, things don't go well. Like, what does this season look like? I assume it's probably like they win 7 or 8 games, they miss the playoffs, and like Rodgers looks like shit, right? Like, that's kind of like the worst case scenario.
I guess it depends. If you're saying like in this context, like Rodgers is playing all or most of the season, like worst case scenario.
Yeah, like it's like the Packers year last year.
Obviously the worst case is he gets hurt and then, you know, it's a disaster with Zach again or whatever. But yeah, I would say, yeah, floor, I think that's probably about right. Like at the 6 to 8 range. I think just by virtue, even if he's average, they should be okay with that defense, you would think. Like, but you know, the season's weird and weird stuff can happen. Like I said, injuries on defense. So yeah, I think 6 to 8 would be the worst case scenario for sure. Cause then you won just enough that you were like kind of in the playoff race until later in the season, probably, but you only end the season with a losing record after all you went through to get Rodgers. And if you play 60% of the snaps, then they're going to lose that first round pick too. Like that would be a disaster in many ways.
Yeah. I and then in terms of ceiling, I just feel like ceiling's like they win the division and get to the Super Bowl. I don't know what happens in the Super Bowl, but I feel like it's like, they win the division. Rodgers looks like his MVP self. They host a playoff game, and this defense is legit. Buffalo probably takes a step back. Miami, Tua doesn't stay healthy. They win 12, 13, 14 games. And right, like that's the kind of ceiling goal is like Garrett Wilson's number one guy. Breece looks good again. Rodgers looks great. I mean, I assume that's kind of best case scenario. Obviously, we don't know what happens in a Super Bowl, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think best case scenario is Rodgers wins MVP. And this is a number one seed. Like, I think their ceiling is that high. I don't think they're going to reach it, but you know, if everything goes according to plan, like they have the pieces, which they haven't in a very long time. You know, I guess you could argue, I don't even know if you could argue they had that going into like 2010, they kind of like outplayed, like, cause they had a bad quarterback, obviously. So they still are good. So, I don't know long before I followed the Jets, certainly like, and yeah, so on paper, like, yeah, they can be a team that, you know, if not the best in the AFC, maybe a one seed's a little high, I guess, because you still have the Chiefs in the conference. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that could be a top 4 seed with the MVP at quarterback and Rodgers, you know, won 2 MVP 2 years ago. So I don't think it's inconceivable that he still has that in him.
Yeah, and then let's go most likely here, because I feel like most likely to me is they should be a 5 or 6 seed. I think them sneaking in the playoffs is like in the back door is like, a 9-win team struggling doesn't really feel realistic, and I don't think that should be the expectation. Like, that's kind of what they were last year. My expectation and kind of what I, you know, see them as is, like, they're probably an 11-win team. That's the 5 or 6 seed, depending on them and Miami. I think that's the most likely thing, and I think they should be able to win a playoff game. Like, I think they – if they went in and played Jacksonville right now with Tennessee, like, on paper, I'd probably favor the Jets. I think that's probably the most likely scenario is when they probably win a playoff game and like lose in the divisional round to Kansas City is like, or Cincinnati's like, that's kind of feels like most likely to me of the outcomes. Again, obviously that's just, you know, we're talking about this on July 18th. Joe Burrow could get hurt tomorrow and we'd have no idea.
Yeah. That's why predictions are so hard. And the playoffs is such a wild card. Like nobody knew the Bengals were going to go to the Super Bowl a couple years ago kind of thing. So it's all about who you match up with. I think most likely, it would be in the 10 to 12 win range. And you either win the division or you come in second in the division. You get one of the wild card spots and you have to travel in that first game on the road and win a road playoff game, which Rodgers can do. He hasn't in a while, I guess. Or he hasn't won a playoff game to get to the Super Bowl in a while, at least. I'm not really sure of like home road. But I think that's realistic for sure, especially because I think the schedule, talking about schedule, the time of the year, you wind up looking dumb later on, but it looks really hard in the beginning and it doesn't look that hard at the end. So.
Yeah. We'll finish with this. Is there one guy like dark horse either to make the roster or like we'll have a bigger impact on this team? You know, we'll be talking in a month. This team's starting to kind of wrap up camp or whatever, 6 weeks from now. Is there a name or, two names, I guess, or that'll be a surprise, like makes the roster or, wow, this guy won the starting job at position X?
That's interesting. So I'd say in terms of make the roster, I've been saying Jason Brownlee, a receiver. Like they would have to keep six receivers, I guess, which who knows if they will. So that would mean Denzel Mims wouldn't make it. Brownlee impressed me a lot in OTAs. You say what you want, but Roger shouted him out. He has the size and the athleticism. He's very intriguing to me, and they gave him the most guaranteed money at all their undrafted rookies. So I'm intrigued by him. And then in terms of a guy that like surprises and either starts or like plays a role, I don't know. The ones that are jumping to my head are Max Mitchell at right tackle and Jeremy Rucker at tight end. I don't think he would like start over Conklin or Uzama even, but maybe he plays a bigger role early on and then he works his way. Like then he has a hard time where they have a hard time taking him off the field kind of thing. Like I think they're really high in his potential. They talked about him behind the scenes a lot, like all year last year, and while he wasn't playing, that how much they believed in the guy. So I mean, he's a third round pick, and if it doesn't pan out, then you can call him a bust. So not yet, but my point being like a third round pick, like you want them to contribute more than he did last year. So yeah, I think those are the two guys that jumped to my mind.
Yeah. I mean, if Jeremy Rucker's not on Elite Specials this year, I was really high on he was my favorite tight end coming out of last year. I was kind of surprised. He was a guy that like, he just looks like he's going to be an NFL tight end. He's just kind of built that way. So I was a little surprised like that he didn't, kind of crack the 50, the 46 man roster on game days and things like that as much as he did. Lastly, like, do the Jets keep three quarterbacks? Because their quarterback room behind Rodgers is not pretty, as much as I know you love Strebler and it's more of a Twitter bit than anything. kind of scary that, like, they have the three guys behind Rodgers. One of them's a CFL tight end turned quarterback. One's a guy in Tim Boyle who, like, kind of feels like Rodgers' buddy more than a guy you'd ever want on the field. And Zach Wilson. So, I don't know. It's a little scary.
Yeah, I get asked about that a lot, and I get it, and I agree with it even, but I think unless Zach and or Boyle are like complete disasters in training camp, I think that's probably the group they roll with, just because I think they believe in I wouldn't say they believe in Zach. If they believed in Zach, they wouldn't have done what they did this offseason, trying to get his replacement. They believe in his ability to improve behind the scenes, and you hope that they don't need to use him for a long time outside of the preseason. And most teams' number two quarterbacks are in reality not that good. I think like ceiling wise, Zach would have one of the higher ceilings for a number two quarterback, which, whatever you think about Zach, like he was a number two overall pick because he had talent. I think confidence was his biggest issue last year, and he lost the ability to process things in game because he didn't believe in anything he was doing. And so if he gets the confidence back, then maybe they believe in him, his ability a little more, but if the cameras are on and they're on primetime football, how can he handle it? Blah, blah, blah. Boyle, you wouldn't be thrilled if he had a play. If you get down to the third quarterback, you're screwed anyway. I don't know. I just feel like Zach's not going anywhere. So bringing another veteran, that guy would have to be okay with probably like maybe being third string. I don't know. And it depends on who it would be. I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater's coming here or the guys like Nick Foles. Like, I don't know if those guys are doing that. So I think it'll come down to how things look in training camp. If Zach Wilson goes down in the preseason and looks terrible and these guys are all still available, maybe you check in. But my gut says it'll be these three, especially because that new like I think in the past maybe they would even gone in with Rodgers and Wilson because of the emergency quarterback rule they added, where you can have them like be available on game day even if they're inactive. I think Tim Boyle, because he knows the offense, he knows Lazard, he knows Cobb, he knows Hackett. Like he's a valuable third quarterback. He's not a valuable second quarterback, certainly.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page here. I just think that, you know, I've been trying to push the Adrian McCarron bandwagon for a while. Just felt like, oh, this guy's started a playoff game and like looked competent and like started big games, and he's kind of been there, done that, kind of egoless guy, like would make a lot of sense, but it's not going to happen. No, obviously appreciate you taking some time. Make sure you guys check out, you know, the article I mentioned, you know, up on The Athletic now, both kind of the Jets, you know, second MVP, you know, outside of Rodgers, as well as storylines going into camp. And enjoy camp. Make sure you kind of put some sunscreen on, stay out of the sun too much, and enjoy the camp stats and all those type of things.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on. I always love chatting with you.
All right. Thanks so much, man. Take care.